reason I open in this autobiographical way is not because it really matters what happened to me. It really is neither here nor there what I think about anything or what I experienced about anything. I tell it autobiographically because the doctrines of Romans 9 are about life. They're about choices that you will make behind which you will never turn again. You come to certain points in your life in crisis, and you know that if you cross a line, you'll never go back again. And you need to know that that's what we're dealing with in Romans 9. This is not just about controversy. This is not just about intellectual thought. It's not just about doctrine. It's about what will happen to your life because of a vision of God and a vision of salvation that's in this chapter. When I entered seminary in 1968, I believed in the freedom of my will, in the sense that I thought it was ultimately self-determining. I hadn't learned that from the Bible. I had absorbed that from the self-infatuated, self-exalting, self-esteeming, self-sufficient air you and I breathe in this country every day. That's where I had absorbed it. It isn't in the Bible. Not one verse teaches the self-determining will of man. But I believed it, just like most people believe it. The sovereignty of God meant to me, He can do anything with me I give Him permission to do. That's what the sovereignty of God meant. And with this frame of mind, I entered a class on Philippians, taught by Daniel Fuller. And I entered a class on the salvation of man taught by James Morgan, who died of cancer while I was at Fuller. In Philippians, I hit head on verse 12, chapter 2. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And then I hit like a brick wall the ground clause. For God is that one who is at work in you to will and to work for His good pleasure. Beneath my willing is God's willing, and beneath my working is God's working. The question wasn't, do I have a will? The question was, why do I will what I will? And the ultimate answer, not the only answer, was God. Then I entered this systematic theology class with James Morgan. We dealt, as all systematic theology classes do, with the doctrine of election and grace. Romans 9 proved to be the watershed text in that class. I ran into these verses in chapter 9, verse 11. Though Jacob and Esau were not yet born and had not done anything good or bad, in order that the purpose of election might continue, not because of works, but because of Him who calls, she was told, Rebecca was told, the older will serve the younger. Before they'd done anything good or evil, in order that election might stand, Esau was made subservient to Jacob. And it raises the question of the justice of God. And therefore, in verse 14, we read in that class, and you can read right now in your Bible, is there then injustice on God's part? And he answers no, and he quotes Moses. Verse 15, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. Which raises the question of his irresistible will, which Paul raises in verse 19. Why then does he still find fault? Who can resist his will? And he answers in verse 21, has the potter no right over the clay to make out of the same lump one vessel for honored use and another for dishonorable use? Now, emotions run very high in a 22-year-old or 82-year-old who finds his man-centered world collapsing around him. So, one day, I met James Morgan in the hall, who was confronting me with these texts that were making me very angry and making me cry in the afternoon as I read my Bible. And I pulled my pen out of my pocket. And I stood in front of him, and after a few minutes of heated discussion, I held my pen in front of his face, and I dropped it on the floor. And with far less respect than a 22-year-old ought to have for a teacher, I said, I dropped it. I dropped it. As though that would settle the issue. That there were no divine authority or power that might have somehow governed my dropping it. Emotions run very high when your world is collapsing. By the end of the semester, it was in ruins. And I wrote in my blue book, I can picture the place in the class where I was sitting. Romans 9 is like a tiger going about devouring free willers like me. And that was the end of my love affair with human autonomy and the ultimate self-determination of my will. And it was the beginning of a love affair with the supremacy of God in all things for the joy of all peoples. And I've been on a pilgrimage of discovery. I do not presume today to have arrived or to understand God fully by any means. He will always outstrip us. And when we think we've got Him packaged well, He will burst forth. So don't presume that I come with all the answers.
Thank you for listening to this excerpt from Pastor John Piper and DesiringGod.org. Please visit us at DesiringGod.org. You may also call us toll-free at 1-888-346-4700. Desiring God exists to help you make God your treasure.